Kids, if you want to wait, sorry, they forgot to announce. The kids for Faith Jam stay inside. Thank you, Miss Abby, for running and getting them.
You're fine.
They just all ran downstairs. We leave them alone down there.
So scripture reading today comes from Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, but I'll be also reading verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Before I get into my message, one of the things that the kids could do this week, this weekend, is they were in charge of coming up with a skit to tell us about what they learned during the Faith Jam weekend about being rooted. So we're going to have, we had a couple people filling in. Like I said, we had kids that had to leave. But the object of this was they worked on their skit. It was completely on their own with their high school mentor's help. So they had to come up with this. We didn't give them a script to do, or we didn't give them the easy way. They had to completely write their own skit and program. So this was one of the ones from this week that I want to, or weekend, that I'd like to share with you.
All right, so this is Catherine. And Catherine really likes writing in her journal, as she's doing right now. But then one day, these kids at school came out and saw Catherine writing in a journal. And you know, they were kind of like the tough kids at school who liked, you know, giving people crap. So they said, "Yo, punk, give us your diary." And Catherine said, "No way, I'm writing in it." So then they meanly took it from her. And they started reading in it. And you know, there were some things in there and they thought they were really funny. So they started laughing and telling everybody. And some two Christian kids came out and saw what was happening. But, you know, they were a little scared of, you know, messing with these kids. So they just kind of walked on by and didn't really want to mess with them. So now we're going to rewind this scene and something different might happen. So, we still got Catherine. She's still writing in her journal. And the two boys are going to come out. And they're still going to want to take the journal. So, they're now going to take the journal. And they're going to read today's entry, because you know it's a new day, and we're going to... And they're still going to laugh about it, because apparently whatever Catherine writes in her journal must be pretty funny, because, you know, they seem to be hamming it up. So now the two kids, the Christians, are going to come back out. And since they had just spent the whole weekend at Faith Jam learning that they needed to be rooted in their faith, and part of being rooted in their faith is being nice to one another, they're going to now tell the boys to give Catherine back her journal. And the boys are going to feel so bad about taking the journal, they're going to apologize. And, you know, Catherine, being the good Christian that she is going to forgive the boys. And they're going to hug it out. Hug it out. I said hug it out. And now, after they've nicely hugged it out, they're going to now go jump around on the stage like High School Musical. There we go. Good job, guys.
Oh, just like we rehearsed. Just another reason I truly, truly love my job. So thank you so much as a church. Thank you for allowing us to, well, for lack of a better term, hijack the church for the weekend and have this faith jam. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We had 25 or 24 of our middle school students from this church and a couple friends come. And it was a great time, had many high schoolers that invested as small group leaders and did just an absolute wonderful job. As I was kind of coming up with this year's theme and what I wanted this year's theme to look like, I was going through a bunch of different things. And, well, let's be honest, I looked into myself and kind of said, what is it that I want to do? What is it that I love? And I went, well, I love trees. I love outdoors. I love many things about that. I love symbolism. So I found this entire thing with Rooted, and I had my secretary make up these wonderful design shirts and everything, and I went, I love Rooted. Obviously, by the picture you'll see on the screen, I kind of am a little bit passionate about it. This is a picture of, if you've been to our house, this is a giant painting that is on our wall. This is a wall in our dining room, and we actually got this painting on one of our trips down to Jamaica. It was hanging in a church, and I love it for many reasons. One of them that always spoke to me was the fact that the roots are green, and then the tree is glowing green. And it was kind of funny because after I saw my pastor friend down there, and I said this, and this, mind you, this is, 5 foot wide, 6 foot high? I mean, it's a giant painting. And I had said that, and I told him how much I loved it. And the artist went, well, that was just kind of accidental. And I went, well, I like it. So long story short, they ended up giving us this painting, and we brought it back and mounted it on our wall so as some fine artwork. But this is something that's symbolic to me, the fact of being well-rooted. It's something that's very close to my heart. I enjoy nature, like I said. I enjoy many things about nature. I grew up in a family greenhouse. My grandfather started a greenhouse when he was a teen, and I grew up working there on every pretty much break from school and throughout the summer. I spent many of my time doing this. Now, here's the thing. You would think all these years of in a family greenhouse that people always kind of come up to me and say, John, can you tell me how to do this? Can you tell me how I can bring this, plant back to life or do whatever? True confession time. I can tell you how many Easter lilies you can pack into a semi-truck, but I cannot keep an Easter lily alive. I would dare say I have an amazing talent of killing things rather quickly. So much so that I had a friend a couple weeks ago, as just kind of a fun gift, gave me a plant. It was called a money tree. And kind of as a joke, gave it to me. And my amazing ability, he gave me this money tree. I put it in my office, and in less than 48 hours, I almost killed this money tree. I have no idea what I did, and in my own infinite wisdom, went to somebody that could help. So who do you call on when you need help with a plant, especially a money tree? So I took it to our financial person here at the church, and I said, can you help me bring this back? So Leslie here at the church is actually nurturing my money tree back to health. I don't know if it produces money. I don't know what it does yet, but she is helping me nurture this back. With that being said, full disclosure, I am not good at keeping things alive, but I love the symbolic part. I love the fact that the Bible is filled with stories talking about growing, talking about, your foundation, talking about all this stuff, talking about the faith of a mustard seed. I love all of these aspects. So it was something that I was passionate about. It was something that I wanted to grow in. So as we break this down and as we talk a little bit more today, we're going to talk really one verse and three major points about that. So as Abe said, he shared our verse. But my youth group kids know, and anybody that's come to Sunday night youth group, is I'm not big on cherry picking a verse. Yes, I will be honest. When you Google search and you find the word rooted, it seems like it's a good verse. Well, I can't just take it out of context. So you have to back up further, and you have to look at the verse in its context. So I love when the Bible puts a title because we can know, hey, that's what he's talking about there. And we just got done doing a series on Paul. So it's Colossians, and I would like us to all read this together. It's the title, The Fullness of the Life of Christ. So will you follow along and read with me? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in the thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. So here is what we're going to do. We're going to do three basic points for my sermon today. We're going to break down, and because, my brain does things very opposite, We're going to talk from the ground up with the tree, the roots all the way up to the rest of the tree. But we're going to take that verse and kind of go a little bit backwards through the verse. So the first part we're talking about, my very first point, is you need to have a healthy root source, right? If you know anything, most of the times I've failed is because I've either underwatered or overwatered a tree. You have to have a healthy root source. So Paul warns at the end of that, that in having, sorry, Paul warns in that you need, that Paul warns of, sorry, being deceived here. Don't follow humans, follow Christ. So our number one thing is, don't follow the humans. When we have a pastor, we have somebody preaching up here, it's wonderful to listen to us. But the truth is, you need to listen to Christ. Christ is the one that's guiding you. Christ is the one that's talking to you. So your root system has to be deeply embedded. It has to be healthy. It has to go after all the sources. You know, I was doing some research and looking up different facts about this. They said that it's something like 98% of trees, the root system is as wide as the widest branch, or is about a foot difference of the widest branches. So if you think about that with a tree or a plant, you only can grow as wide as your root source. So that's very important. You need to have a strong root source. You need to have a healthy root source. We learn this all in elementary school, right? What are the roots for? What is the sole purpose of them? To suck up what? Nutrients, water. That's the point of the roots, right? You absorb the water. That's how the tree lives. That's why we water the soil, that if it's in a plant. It sucks up the water. But the thing that is also amazing, it sucks up the nutrients. A tree is very, very smart. It can sit there, and if a tree is damaged or whatever and needs a certain nutrient, the roots will take more of that nutrients from the soil. It will pull those nutrients up because that's what it needs. That's what it needs to grow. So we need to have a healthy root source. Our roots have to be spread out. It has to be able to absorb the water. It has to be able to absorb the nutrients. The other part about having a healthy root source, we just got, obviously, a bunch of snow this last week. I don't know if your backyard was like mine. Every tree was bending over, was kind of turning sideways, especially the evergreens, all that weight. We lost a couple branches in our backyard. That's not going to be a lot of fun to clean up in a few days or whatever it is. We had all that heavy weight. The heavy root source does more and more and more for that tree than you ever know. It's all underground. It's all hidden, but yet it holds that tree upright. It holds that tree firm. A tree would obviously tip over if it had one root that went straight down. All those roots going out to the side, that's what holds that tree from falling over. And you'll see that often. A lot of times when you see a tree that has fallen over, it's because it was planted in a city and the roots couldn't go far enough in that direction. So once we've established that we have a healthy root source, that we're sucking up everything that God is doing, that spending a weekend of Faith Jam, going to whatever, spending time in the Word, you're sucking up those nutrients. You're sucking up those things that God has called you to. So you're obviously are healthy. So once we have a healthy root source, we can move on to the second point that we're talking about there. And the second point is to make sure you grow where you are planted. That's one of the biggest things that I always struggled with. Is oftentimes we're called to grow. And I'm kind of in that boat where I'm like, well, you know what? I know I'm supposed to grow, but I don't necessarily want to do it here. I want to do it on my own. I want to do it the way. No, God says we're called to grow where we are planted. And we have to be able to bloom. We have to be able to do all those things. I have a couple pictures up here that we're going to talk about. The first one, and no middle schoolers helping here on this one, or high schoolers, or anybody that came to Faith Jam. So, these wildflowers. Anybody watch the news this week and know where this picture was taken? You're in middle school. Somebody else? In the desert. That's Death Valley. I know you did. So Death Valley has had something just enormously strange happen. It's gotten rain. It's gotten a lot of rain. And these seeds that a lot of scientists have said have been laying dormant for 18 to 30 months have just been laying dormant waiting, and all of a sudden, it's rained. And what has happened? They have a field of wildflowers. One guy they were interviewing when we were watching the news the other morning, and I saw this. One guy he was interviewing, he said, I haven't seen anything like this in 50 years. All of a sudden, Death Valley gets rain, and these seeds are just waiting to just bloom, are waiting to take over. What if we were like that? What if we were just so just in need of thirst that we come to something like Faith Jam, that we can just bloom, that we can take off? The second thing that we're going to talk about here, Paul's writing to the church, and he's saying such a simple message. You accept Christ, you continue to live your life in him. Continue to strengthen your faith. And overflowing with thanksgiving, that is what a healthy tree will look like. Overflowing with thanksgiving. We're in such a way that when we suck up those nutrients, we're overflowing. We're blooming. We're looking amazing because we're taking in all of God. The next picture on there you'll see is a tree. And I'm pretty sure everybody else that has went to elementary school, you had a teacher that brought in a chunk of tree and cut it like that, right? And we know, or we've been told by everybody, what the circles mean. What do the circles mean? Brennan's over there. What is it? How old the plant is, how old the tree is, right? The thing that I thought was amazing as I was doing some research, and again, I took botany class. I thought I might have known this, but I didn't. Do you know what the lighter colored parts of that tree is? Yeah, people that have already heard this. The lighter part is actually the springtime. That's the growth that happens in the spring. The cells are bigger because spring and summer, at the beginning of summer, are when a tree will just grow rapidly. They're soaking up all those nutrients, and the tree will do that. So it's white because the cells are bigger. And then the darker part, the rings that we actually see, are the winter time. That's when the tree is still growing, but it's not necessarily being fed as much. It's not growing. And if we think about it, that's our life, right? We as a tree, there's seasons like Faith Jam. There's seasons that you've went through where you're just taking in God and just growing. You're absorbing everything and you're going, this is wonderful. I'm on fire. I'm growing for God. And then there's seasons where I'm like, oh, this is hard. This is difficult. But the fact of the matter is, even in that dark part, it's still growing. The tree is still growing. You might not feel it all the time, but you're still growing. The second part of this tree of looking at, do you see the little scar there? Now, a tree will do this. A tree will mend itself. It might have happened to that tree. It might have been hit by lightning. It might have had whatever. It might have had a branch that just broke off. And Chris went dark. But imagine that tree that's up there. It has the scar. It has that part. Something happened. Something great happened in that tree's life that it definitely affected that tree. But what happened? The tree grew. The tree went around it. And it continued to heal itself. Did that same instant happen? Yes. But it's not noticeable anymore because healing happens. Your relationship with God, you continue to grow. It still happened, but follow along with that. We're that tree. Somebody might have said something to us that completely destroyed us. Something might have just completely hurt us. But with God's help, we're growing around. We're healing that scar. God can't take that pain completely away from us, but he can help us grow from it, and he can help us. The last thing about that little cut of the tree that I'm going to use is you'll see that none of those circles are perfect circles, are they? The rings are kind of oblonged or whatever. Well, that's something else that a tree will do. A tree, depending on what has happened, whether it be a heavy snowstorm or whatever, that will bend the tree sideways. A tree has an amazing ability to heal itself, and a tree will always grow towards the sun, right? Follow the analogy there, growing towards the sun. We're the tree. We need to grow towards the sun. We need to grow towards Christ. It'll always protect itself. It'll always straighten back out. And so when you see a tree ring like that and you see the wider areas, that's something that happened. You know, scientists that study this can look at that tree and can say, oh, 10 years ago, all the trees in this area have a bigger ring on this side. The winds must have been stronger that year. Or something happened where all these trees were bent over. They must have had a heavy snowstorm. They can study that. And so much for us too, that when you look at those rings, we're not even. But you know what? As long as we're well-rooted and as long as we're absorbing these nutrients, we're going to straighten back out. We're going to grow back towards God. We're going to grow back towards the sun. The last point I'm going to make that is really important, we started with the roots, now we've done the trunk of the tree, And now the last part is we need to produce fruit. If we're honest and we're totally honest with ourselves, we can look at ourselves and say, am I producing fruit? Are people around me wanting to know, are they looking at me saying, hey, I want to be that. I want to be something special. I want to be around that person because they just sweat their love for God. There's something about them. It comes out of them. Every aspect about them. They love God so much, it's just right there. And that's the way that's what we're called to do. If you can take a long look, if you can take a look at yourself and say, am I that type of person people want to be around? Am I that type of person that when something else is going wrong, want to call and say, hey, pray with me. I need your help. Are you that type of person? That's what we're called to. Last week I was out of town. I went down to Nashville, Tennessee to my uncle's funeral. Wonderful funeral. I mean, the guy lived 86 years. He had just an amazing life. I will be honest, I'm glad that none of my family's here today because I can say this. My Uncle Fred, there's no better way to put this than I thought he was a very cocky individual. Because my uncle would always have a story about, oh, the other day I ran into so-and-so, or the other day, you know, the state senator called me and asked me my opinion. And I would just be like, what? Who lives this life? Well, as I sat through his funeral, and I sat through this amazing, beautiful chapel right on Vanderbilt University, and I sat through this entire funeral, and I went, he wasn't at all. Like, I started to hear these stories. I started to hear amazing testimonies of people talking about how my uncle wrote the laws for equal employment and equal housing back in, you know, the 60s for the state of Tennessee. He was the one that originated those laws. And I'm hearing all this wonderful stuff. And after the funeral, I'm with my aunt. I'm helping her because her hearing's going, and I'm helping her talk to this lady. And I looked after the lady left, and I said, you know, that lady seemed really, really nice. And she's like, well, she probably should be. She's the mayor of Nashville. And I went, oh, okay. You know, here are all these very important people. And I had no idea who they all were. But the thing is, I hear all these amazing stories. I hear all these things that my uncle did. And all the things that he said, I went, he never really bragged on himself. I thought he did, but he never really did. He was an amazing man. But of all those stories, the one that I took home, the one that I went, wow, that really spoke to me, was as my uncle, who 86 passed away, so 2 years earlier, at 84, he was in a church meeting. And my uncle, I don't know if I mentioned, my uncle had a doctorate in ministry, so he was an ordained United Methodist pastor for 60-some years. I mean, it was right as soon as you possibly could. And he was a very educated man. And so every time they had a church meeting, they would say, like, okay, we're going to open this up for discussion. And my uncle, and pretty much the only one here is my wife that knows my uncle Fred and would attest to, he would stand right up and say, well, this is what we need to do. And everybody would just go, okay, he said it, we're going to do it. So the pastor kind of talked to him and said, listen, I appreciate your heart, but you know what you're doing? You're not letting it discuss. You're not letting people talk. You're not letting the church be. So my uncle at 84 years said, if I'm hurting others, I need to stop. I need to say, hey, what matters is the church. What matters is greater than me. So for the last 2 years, the pastor said he had to like pull information out of my uncle because he said, I'm not going to be that one that hinders. I'm not going to be that one that gets in the way of somebody else's ministry. You know, we so often as a church, look at going back to the tree analogy, we so often are willing to damage another tree. We are so often are willing to attack, are willing to say stuff. And I'm going to be honest, I love the fact that Faith Jam, that you guys as a church support this. This is an amazing time. These youth are going to be the church, obviously. We're not going to be here. We're going to continue on. That's life. I understand that. But we open it up for a weekend where they can have fun. We don't have to sit there and say, oh, you know, whatever. I'll be honest. As youth counselors, we are sporadically running around this place before church on Sunday morning to go, we have to make sure everything looks great because we don't want anybody to complain. But the truth is, we are a church that embraces this. We are a church that says, hey, have an amazing retreat, because we know this church is going to be yours. We invest in them. We pour into them. And that's what we need to do with everything. We can't be a church that damages. We can't be a group of people that adds more to the damaging effects of a tree. I thought it was really interesting that I worked for a little bit for the Midland City Parks. And in my time there, I learned many things about this wonderful town of ours, Midland. And obviously, we have a very educated group of people. But we really take care of this city. And we go as far as within the city of Midland, they have a computer that tracks every tree that is in the outlawn in the city of Midland. Okay? So we have this computer that tracks this. And as of right now, it's a little guesstimate, but it's 27,770 outlawn trees in this city alone. On top of that, the city of Parks, okay, there's equal to that, if not a few more, number of trees that are documented in the city parks. We have 84 city parks in the city of Midland. We take care of our trees. We watch them. We take care of them. Well, they'll mark stuff. And when a tree gets, and you know, the ash borer's going around and destroying, when a tree gets injected to do that, you can pull up on the computer, tree number, da-da-da-da-da, when it was taken care of. We so highly document every aspect of how we care for a tree. It even goes as far as, if you would want to, and I would prefer you not, but if you would want to, if your tree in your outlawn gets damaged and you want to sue them or go after them, anybody have an idea of how much the cost of that? You can't answer. You already know. Anybody else have an answer? How much do you think a tree can get for one of your outlawn trees if they're damaged? Well, they all know. How much is it? $20,000 to $30,000, your outlawn tree. If it gets damaged, you can go after it. That is what they've said one of your trees, outlawn trees, is worth in the city of Midland. What is the price of damaging those around us? What is the price if I can say something mean or crude or rude, if I can do that? If I'm responsible because I damage a tree in the city for $20,000 or $30,000, what if we start going after people for how much it is when we say a bad word to them? We gotta start healing. We gotta start protecting each other. We gotta start going and saying, hey, you know what? This tree, we care about this. These youth, we care about them. And I'm not saying we don't. This church does a fabulous job loving on these kids. But you know what? We need to do it in all aspects. I'm not talking just youth. Obviously, that's where my passion is. We got to do the same. The seasoned adult ministry, the friendship lunch, every aspect, every little ministry in this church, we have to start protecting. We have to start caring. We have to start loving. We have to start saying, you know what? I understand. I understand that, you know, this might not work. I understand, but let's compromise. Let's figure out a way, because your ministry is important and my ministry is important. Because when we fight within these walls, what are we doing for this community? This community, we've called to so much more. We're called to heal. We're called to be a place that people can walk in these doors and have healing. We're called to so much more than we're doing. God puts that out there. God is passionately asking you. Producing fruit. There's two pictures up here. And to me, two of the best pictures I can find about producing fruit. First one in the bottom here, that was during one of our worship times. The second one was late last night in the chapel, having a chapel service, talking about kids and how they want to be better. What aspects of their life they need to get better at and how they need to turn it over to God and how they need to be better rooted. I'm challenging you, I'm challenging myself. We as a community, we as a church, we need to be passionate followers of Christ. We need to be difference makers. They've now heard this story probably way too many times. But one of my favorite youth groups, I have many favorite, every year is my favorite youth group. But one of my favorite years ago, I had two kids and two graduates. very same age. One of them graduated, went on to college, has now got a job at Dow. He works at Dow. I've talked to him many times. He spends time praying with people at Dow. He spends time loving on people, trying to show people Christ in a unique way. It's his job working at Dow, but that's what he does. The other kid, very good friend of his, graduated the same year. He wanted to be a pilot. He went on to be a pilot. He now flies for AIM Air over in Africa. He's a rescue pilot. So when missionaries need to get flown away from an area, he goes and picks them up. Two wonderful men, both of them doing their call. To us, I mean, I'll be honest, within the church, it sounds a lot better to me to say, hey, this kid right here, he became a man of God and is flying missionaries. But I'm telling you, your call, if you passionately follow your call, those are equal. The guy that's working at Dow and loving on people that he works with, those are equal. There's no greater call. You need to answer your call. What it is that God is asking you to do. What is it is that God is asking me to do. Let's not be jealous of other people's call. Let's realize if we can all do this together, the difference we're going to make within these walls, the difference we're going to make within this community, the difference we can make within this church. It's a wonderful, wonderful call. I invite the praise band to come back up and we're going to sing a song. Please, everybody, bow your heads and let's pray while they come up. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. I pray that you will help us. Help us be well-rooted in you. Help us absorb and long to absorb the nutrients of you, God, every chance we get. Help us be healthy. Help us, when we're scarred or hurt or broken, to heal. Help us produce fruit so others may see us and realize there's so much more to you, God. God, we ask that you'll be with all of these middle schoolers and high schoolers as they've just come through this emotional, amazing weekend. But I also ask you, God, to be with everybody in this church today. You have a call for each and every one of us, and I ask you that you will help us answer that call. Help us go forward and honor and glorify you. It's in your strong and powerful name. Amen.
Please stand with us and join us in our closing song, Our God is Greater.
Water, you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Go this week knowing that you are loved by God. Go this week knowing that you have a higher call for you. God, give us the strength and the energy to passionately follow you and be difference makers. It's in your name. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Be blessed.